You have entered the Arcade Cafe. The first time in 2 weeks. I'm sorry we were closed while I was away in the land of ice. But today in the cafe, I'm drinking a lavender and marshmallow, something like that, latte. Iced.
It's like dookie. It's like dookie juice.
Well, that's what coffee is and looks like.
Somebody steeped a big old turd and that's
lavender fluff. Lavender fluff oat milk latte from Carnegie Coffee Company in Carnegie in Pittsburgh.
Lavender poopy. I don't know if I like lavender.
Nothing?
I don't think I like lavender stuff. I don't like Lavender Town. I don't like lavender drinks. I don't like the color lavender.
I think it's pretty good.
I don't like the smell.
It's got an earthy taste to it. I like it. It's pretty popular at Aslan, too. But I'm your host, Bryce Yoli. I'm here with my pal and cousin-in-law, and more eloquent co-host, Caleb James. Here in the Arcade Cafe lies an Icelandic hot dog-sized answer to those full-length episodes of the main feature of Arcade Bookshop. At only about 30 minutes in length, we bring you our current thoughts on our video game progress, book progress, a little bit of video game news that's probably already a little old, occasional state of the podcast info, our wants, our needs, our private thoughts, deepest, darkest secrets, and of course, the sweet nothings that Caleb whispers in the bedroom. Let's get down to business.
Yeah, I want to know why you ate so many fucking hot dogs in Iceland. Like, you go all the way across the world and you just go and eat hot dogs. Big,
they were
stinky
so
hot dogs.
Fucking good. I ate 5 hot dogs when I was in Iceland. I ate 5 hot dogs because
with mystery
the hot dogs, the hot dogs in Iceland aren't just poopy, low quality beef and pork and whatever lips and assholes they stick in there. They are 80% lamb and only
assholes
20% beef, only 20% assholes and lips.
Oh, that's a good ratio.
And I ate them at with my food tour group at the original, it's an Icelandic name, but the original hot dog cart in Reykjavik, which actually is across from this hotel that Bill Clinton stayed at, and he would go there every single day and eat a hot dog or more. And the story is that he ate one every day, and then when he went back home, he had a heart attack. And I believe that. But
good story.
Anyway, they're so good because they're mostly lamb, and also on the bottom they put both fresh onions and fried onions, plus they top it with ketchup, sweet mustard, and remoulade. And those fucking fried onions and the sweet mustard just so fucking good. I went to the original cart every single time that I ate them. I went back twice and I got 2 hot dogs each time. And oh my god, I could eat those every meal, every day. They're so good. They're like when you see a hot dog on a cartoon and it's like, oh, that looks like a really fucking good hot dog. And then you have a hot dog in real life in the United States and it's like, okay. But you eat it in Iceland and it's like, that's exactly what I've been looking for my entire life.
So it was better than the pissy fermented shark?
Oh yes, by far. You bite into the hot dog.
Why do they still eat the fermented shark? It's gross.
Real quick, you bite into the hot dog and it's got that pop that you want. That like
talking about the fucking hot dog.
It's so good. It's so good.
You sent me so many goddamn hot dog pictures. I don't understand. You go to Iceland.
I wish I had more. Hot dog.
I'm going to put it as dirty volcano rocks and hot dogs. That's all I got.
I'm gonna take the my wedding photo from the background of my phone and replace it with the hot dogs. It was so fucking good.
It didn't look good, by the way. The pictures look gross.
The hot dogs?
Yeah, they just looked like they had brown shit smeared on them, and they were just
they were so good. And they even have the technology installed in the hot dog tables to hold the hot dogs, so you don't have to have them all in your hands at once.
Well, that's fancy.
It is fancy. And the fermented shark, it was, what'd you ask about it?
Why they still eat it? I know it's like a traditional thing that you
it's
a shark in the beach for a month.
Because sharks like pee through their pores or something like that. So they're already like soaked in it. So they bury
the
shark.
Pissy.
Yeah, they bury the shark for like 3 months and they they dig it back up and, you know, whatever, chop it up. And it's basically just rotten shark. So
who's the first person that did that and was like, yep, this is good. Let's keep doing this for hundreds of years.
Dude, I don't know. But they only eat it. I heard someone say they only eat it for like very special events every year.
Celebrations.
Like, and I don't think anyone eats it as like a meal. It's like,
who the hell would eat a hunk of piss for like dinner? Hunk of piss, like, yay.
Yeah, it's gross, but the weird thing is the flavor isn't that bad. It's just the smell. Like when they give it to you in a wherever you buy it, it's always like you just get it on a toothpick. It's just a little block, like a little cube, like a sugar cube size, and or smaller than that even. But you open up this jar and you just take a little sniff, and then it's just ammonia, and that smell stuck in my nose for an entire day.
Ew.
But the taste of it and the texture was not that bad. It was kind of like a unique, I can't really compare it to anything, but it didn't taste like ammonia. It just it hits your taste buds different than it hits your nose.
Is that why they always have shark fin soup or whatever, and they just like cut the fins off and throw the sharks back in the waters because they're just made of piss? I didn't know.
I don't know.
It's gross.
But I don't know. I mean, if you cook it, if you actually cook it, it wouldn't taste like that regardless. But
yeah, if you cook the piss out.
But anyway, we don't have to talk about Iceland this whole episode, except that I'm wearing my Lapapeza, my sweater.
Do you want to tell them how much it costs? Because I said $80 and I wasn't anywhere near the price of the fucking green sweater you're wearing.
My sweater only cost me $300, Caleb. I don't know what you're complaining about. But then the cool thing is when you shop in other countries, you shop tax-free, at least in certain countries, you shop tax-free. So they give you a receipt if you spend a certain amount of money. And then on your way back through the airport before you check in, you just go to the tax refund desk and you get your tax back. So I got like $50 back on it. So really more like $250, but still.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah. Made with Icelandic sheep's wool, and it's handmade and knitted at the hand something Icelandic association I don't know. Anyway,
did you happen to watch them do this, or is it just fake? Like they just say it's handmade, but it's just, get it from China. You don't know,
but you can tell.
Okay,
you can tell. And they have to put certain markings on it, I think, if it's legitimate or not.
Stop talking about your sweater. We're supposed to talk about games.
I've been trying to, and you keep asking questions. All right, gaming news, everybody. Sorry to talk about my travels that have nothing to do with this show. So first up, Rise of the Ronin is supposedly performing better than, well, before I say what I was going to say, it's better than we previously talked about, because we previously said this game was poop. Because
you said it was poop. I never played it.
I know. Well, I didn't play it either. My friend played it and said it was terrible. It had PS3 graphics. It was too hard. It wasn't very fun. But the numbers seem to tell us that we are wrong. And
dead wrong.
I didn't look real into it, but the pictures that I've seen of it, now that it's been out for a little bit, they don't look so bad. They look pretty good. But what they're actually saying, some people anyway, is that it's performing better than Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is shocking. But it's shocking because Final Fantasy Rebirth came out like February, the last day of February, and it topped the charts.
Nobody likes it now.
So it had one day and did better than all the games that came out throughout the month of February. But now it's like the 11th bestseller, which is weird because it is a really good game. And everybody that talks about it says it's fantastic. But I guess the thing is, it sounds like the people that there was like a drop off from the last Final Fantasy VII remake game, because people they were like, you know, when Final Fantasy VII Remake came out, people dove into it because it was, oh my god, Caleb.
Every fucking episode.
For the people that do care, they dove into it because Final Fantasy
VII. Yeah, they don't care. That's why it dropped. Nobody wants to talk about Final Fantasy anymore. Talk about the new game.
Goodness.
It was a new game.
I'm sick of this.
Talk about the Asian game that did poorly.
I guess some people, a lot of people are just saying they're going to come back to Final Fantasy VII when the third one comes out, so they can play all the way through the whole story and not have to wait like 3 years between games.
Awesome.
But I haven't played Rise of the Ronin myself to find out whether or not I agree with its success because I've been playing old games, and I'm always playing old games. Ever since I bought my PS5, I have only been playing old games except for Modern Warfare 3. It's getting really frustrating because I invested in that console and I haven't played a real PS5 game yet. But same. I'm playing The Last of Us right now, and I'm really enjoying it. It's my first time playing it. Haven't finished Stray yet, but those are both really good. I didn't play any games the whole time I was away, so it's been nice to get back to it. But
what?
I was just informed about another cool game that they've been talked about this last year, and this isn't like new news or anything, but my friend from work told me about this game called Still Wakes the Deep that's coming out next month, June 18th. Look it up while I'm talking. It looks like something. I mean, you won't be able to play it because it's a next gen or it's a current gen game, but it does look like something you might like, I think.
Dude, it's just boners.
Yeah.
Oh, boner. Yeah.
Well, you like Fear and Hunger.
Go deeply spelunking into a man's... I'm not even going to say it.
You liked Fear and Hunger. That's all dicks and witch tits.
Oh, wait. No, I looked up the wrong thing. Wakes the Deep. Yeah, this looks cool. It looks like a boat.
So, like, you explore... Oil rig. You're on a... I don't know if it's, like, haunted or there's something wrong with it, but this messed up 1970s oil rig. You have no weapons, but it's, like, it's one of those, like,
terrifying monster. So they ripped off Pauly Cooley's The Black. Interesting.
What?
Author friend of mine has a book we covered on the DPW podcast called The Black, and that is the premise of The Black, it looks like.
Oh, really? I guess it was inspired. Oh, okay. I guess it was inspired by a lot of different things. But the main inspiration was John Carpenter's The Thing. So I don't think they have shown any of the supernatural aspects of it. It's mostly just like the creepy, well, that was gross. The creepy walking around the oil rig. But it looks pretty cool. Something I might like. It reminds me of Alien Isolation, kind of.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, let's get enthusiasm, Caleb. You're excited for this game, right?
It looks like a game that I would play if I was able to.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna get you a PS5, and we're gonna be good.
Yeah.
No,
you could do that.
It's but I'm gonna.
Play a cool game.
Well, at bare minimum, we'll do Fear and Hunger by Halloween.
Okay,
but that'll have to be soon because
October
will be here before we know it.
Start playing it tomorrow.
Okay, next up, Fallout TV show. Did you happen to try that out yet?
I forgot all about it, but we did talk about that last episode.
I know, but it's out now. We're just having some technical difficulties, and now we're back.
We're back.
But I watched the first episode of the Fallout TV show, and it's pretty cool. It's graphic, but it's exciting, and it makes me want to play the game again. But that's going to be a while from now. But like you said, I kind of want to try out the original games, see what they're like. But I saw an article. I think it was IGN. They were saying that Fallout 4 players are starting to use their, because it has like a really good character creator, I guess. I haven't played it, but it's that they're starting to recreate the characters from the Fallout show.
Oh, yeah.
And you can modify like the facial features so well that you can actually pretty closely imitate what the actors look like. So it's it's pretty cool. But that just says that people are really liking the show, and it doesn't do any harm to the game. I've heard that, you know, I've only watched the first episode, but I've heard that the story is like brand new, so it's not like they tried to take the Fallout, any of the Fallout game storylines and turn it into a show. There just gets kind of its own thing based on what Fallout has given us before.
I think that's a better way to do it, because then you won't piss anybody off.
Yeah. It's like it was kind of probably kind of risky what they did with The Last of Us TV show. I haven't watched it, but I guess that was basically just like directly the story from the game, but luckily still successful. Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. It sets up like three different character storylines that are in different parts of the world, and I think I'm assuming they're all going to come together at some point by the end of the series. For all of you who have already watched all the episodes, you already know, but I remember the types of characters that all these characters are based on, and it does line up and seems like it's going to be something pretty cool.
Neato.
Sandland is out.
Yay, your favorite game that you haven't played yet.
No, I almost want to read the manga before I play it, because I don't think it's very long.
Do it.
But it has, I do really want to play it though.
How many volumes is the manga? 4,000?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think it's only like, I think it's only one volume. Like one volume collection, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how Vagabond was a volume collection of three volumes or whatever. I don't know what you call that. But the game only has kind of average reviews, but it's one of those games that I feel like is going to be like a cult thing because of what it is. Like, I know we talked before, I said like it's not the most innovative game. It does a lot of things that a lot of other games have done before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of what it is, there's going to be a lot of people who already love Sandland the manga who are going to be obsessed with it, or just people who like the concept of what it is on its own as a game. But because it has average reviews overall, but I've seen a lot of like 10 out of 10 reviews on it too.
Looks pretty fun.
It does. I can't imagine it's a bad game. And I think the Metacritic score was like 72, which isn't bad. It's just not like
right
real up there. I really want to play it. The little bit of breaking news just happened like 6 hours ago or something. Yeah. Just broke right open. There's gonna be a new Batman Arkham game coming later this year.
Wow, that was racist. Can't believe you do that to the Italians.
I have Italian in my blood, so suck it.
What was what does Italian people have to do with Batman?
No, I just said it was because of the way I started talking. There's gonna be a, and then I just kept going.
Thought that was deliberate, but okay.
No,
just slipped into your Italianisms.
I was making fun of myself the way I was speaking.
Yeah, okay.
What were you gonna ask?
I didn't ask anything. New Arkham.
All right. Yeah. New Batman Arkham game, and the Arkham games have been very, very popular, very good. However, this game is only coming out for, well, I don't know if it's only, but I think so, only for the MetaQuest 3.
What the fuck?
Right?
What kind of bullshit is that?
So it's like, who gives a shit?
MetaQuest. Fuck that. I ain't playing that shit.
I have zero interest in VR.
Zuckerberg can suck it.
I just can't imagine ever wanting to do that. It's just too weird to me. And it's Why? Not, and I don't want to, well, like the whole, like the Google, or is it Google or Apple? That headset that's really popular now.
Yeah, but isn't that just like altered reality? That's not virtual reality.
I don't know, but regardless, you're putting a screen and covering up your eyes entirely.
Yeah.
And it just it always sticks in my head like a mind control thing. And I know that's out there, but you never know. And I just, in terms of video games, I don't want to have something heavy on my face when I'm playing a game. And I don't want to have to, you know, if I'm chilling out with a game, I don't want to have to do work. That's like...
Your neck's too weak. I mean? Can't hold it up. Oh.
Yeah.
My neck's all flaccid. I can't keep it up.
I mean, I think that was a... That's a... I think people returned it because of that. The, whatever that headset is that I can't think of the fucking name of right now.
It's Oculus Rift.
Apple Vision Pro.
Just get a big stick and hold it. Hold up the goggles.
Yeah, but it's...
Look like it a just big seems fucking dork, to too. Like, what are you, Dick Tracy? You're on a fucking, you know, subway or something in your virtual world, just being a jackass.
Just not for me. I will never, unless some in like really dramatic, innovative, I don't know, not heavy resolution comes to VR. Like, unless they figure out some way where it's not a nuisance to do. I don't enjoy VR games. They're cool for like 5 minutes to try them out, but to me, it's not something that I'm ever gonna that I can foresee myself ever being like, oh, I want to play my VR game.
What if they could plug you in? Much. Like Matrix.
No, right I don't.
In the back of your head.
Not what I want.
Back of your head or under the taint. That's the only.
No.
Options.
Well, yeah. I want that.
You just suck it. Ah, and then you're in the virtual world. Via your gooch, your grundle.
Just say the word, and that word is taint.
Taint.
But yeah, I won't be playing Batman Arkham game for the MetaQuest 3 because I don't even know what the MetaQuest 3 really actually is.
What does it look like? Let me look.
Don't know.
I couldn't even tell you. I didn't know they had a 3. I didn't know there was a 1 and 2.
I heard of it, but yeah, I didn't know there was a third one.
MetaQuest 3. How much is this fucking thing? I don't know. Let's see.
$500.
$500. And you just look like a big fucking asshole walking around playing your stupid virtual bullshit. Give me the virtual, boy. I want everything bright red and scalding my retinas.
Yeah, I don't want to see anymore after I'm done playing games for 15 minutes. All right, that's all I got for gaming shit today. I'm sure there's been more news in the last 2 weeks, but I can't keep up, man.
Can't even keep it up.
I came to the
yeah, but you did.
No, I came to the obvious conclusion that I'm a writer first and a gamer second, and when we talk about video games. I like to talk about them, but I'm not just a gamer. So I'm never going to be as immersed in the news and the knowledge of them as other people might, but I'm here to talk to you. We're here to talk about video games through the filter of people who don't know that much about them. And I hope that you all appreciate that. So that said, what have you been reading and writing?
Wow, didn't even ask me about what games I was playing, but okay.
You've been playing The Messenger, right?
Halfway done with The Messenger.
Nice.
A lot of fun. Great game. Like Sea of Stars, but Ninja Gaiden.
Okay.
Easier than Ninja Gaiden, but just, it's fair enough, but still frustrating. Mainly because you want to rush through it, and you can't. You just have to get good at it. Anyway, reading and writing. I've been writing some stories, taking my time, and not because I want to, just because I'm procrastinating. Reading, I finished a Robert E. Howard Brackman Mourn collection and started a book called Nightjar by Paul Jameson that's been on my to-read pile for a couple years now, and it's really good, and I'll finish that very quickly, and then I'll probably read something for this podcast, because Bryce says I gotta read my homework.
Sometimes you haven't already read what we're going to talk about.
I could pretend.
Dude, you'll get through Player Piano in like less than a week, probably.
All right.
It won't take you as long as it did me, because you actually have a half-decent pace. But I've been reading The Quick and the Dead. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, by Martino Kayan. And it's different than anything I've read before, I think.
Did you read The Key yet?
Is that a story in there? Or?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Here, that was one of my favorite ones in there because it's so different. It's a complete Kafka-esque story about just a guy getting trapped in his office, and he like locks himself in, and because of the bureaucracy of office life, they can't just get him out. You'll really like that story. It's really fucking funny.
Yeah, that one's a little bit later on. I'm close to being... Yeah, I stopped when I got home, so I still have like 70 pages left or something.
There's some real depressing stories in there too, like the lady who I forget if it's a stillborn or, but she has to bury her children near her husband buries the children near the house and doesn't tell her where it's at, and that's all she wants to do is be able to visit
that
them.
One, she can't. That one was, I think that one was my favorite so far.
But it was really good, really, but it was fucking bleak, dude. Like a couple of the stories were.
Because for a while I was like, what the fuck's the point of this? And then the longer it went on, I was like, oh shit, it's because she's like losing her mind about all this stuff. Yeah. And like she doesn't even know it.
She's distraught with grief.
Yeah. And then it kind of is revealed as it goes on. But that was a long one too. He like took his time on that. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was reading that when I started traveling to Iceland and back. I was writing a lot of poems for this Instagram publication. I was really, really trying hard to get in there. And they don't, they publish like unique, I wouldn't say unique things, but they publish a certain kind of quality. And I was really trying to pin down what the kind of stuff they want. And it's really hard because they were very communicative about it. So I kept asking like which ones I'm sending they like more than others. So I was getting an idea of what they really liked, and they kept saying, oh, I really like that one. I really like that one. And then inevitably they always rejected it. And it was really frustrating because they only publish, 8 pieces for each issue. So this whole month, whoever it was, they're rejecting most of these because they can only accept 8 pieces. So it was driving me nuts. I didn't end up getting in, but it would have
been cool. They wanted to accept mine, but it was too long because I was stupid and didn't realize it was 500 characters, not words.
Yeah, well, I did that one time on accident, too. It's hard to remember because 500 characters is tiny. The ones I liked the most were the haikus that I was writing. So. Which are the ones I kind of like the least, but I got to wrap up here soon. But I have my chapbook collection advanced sales coming up soon. So once I have more information on that, I will
start pimping it out to the world.
Yeah, blast that shit out there.
Blast the fuck out of it.
Let you guys know about that. I'll post it on social media. I actually just had one come out yesterday, I think. On Loud Coffee Press. Look that up. That issue just came out. It's a small, you can order a print version, but it's also online.
Did you order a print version?
I'm going to. I didn't do it yet.
They didn't send you a contributor copy. I hate when they don't send you a contributor copy.
No, but it's only $5, so I'm assuming it's a really small thing.
That ain't bad. I think Spank the Carp's the only one I had to fucking pay for, and the PA Bards. I had to pay for that too.
Oh yeah. I'm still waiting on mine. That should be here.
They misspelled your name in it. I got it.
Did they?
Yeah, they spelled it Rice. R-I-C-E.
Fuck you.
Holy.
Anyway, Caleb's had some stuff come out. The Siren's Call, right? That one came out online?
Let's see. Well, start with PA Bards, because I was in that as well. And I did my reading, since Bryce didn't want to fucking come, because he had to go to the Land of Ice. So I did the poetry reading, and it was a packed crowd. It was actually pretty good. No, I think there's only one or two garbage poems. They weren't even garbage. They just weren't that, compared to some of the other, but out of the readers, it was a lot better than last year. The Siren's Call issue 65, the spring issues out now. I have a story, Undying Island. You could read that for free if you want to download that. I also today, which when this drops is 2 days ago, I guess. But yeah, today, the recording of this, Strange Days finally came out, volume 14. I have a story in that. Also, tomorrow or yesterday, as this comes out, I am in Mini Mag. I have a story in that as well, and that's a free one you can read. You have one next week, I think, coming out in that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I'll be in Mini Mag. That's a digital download. Strange Days, you can order a copy. It's like $11. What else am I in? Oh, next week, May 10th, the one I'm most excited about. I am in Ethereal Nightmares from Dark Home Publishing. It's a UK publication. You can pre-order now. My sword and sorcery story, Asher Kang versus the Army of the Undead, is in that. That's a long story, so you're getting your money's worth. That's about 10,000 words. So I really like that. It's an older story I wrote, but it's a lot of fun. If you like Conan type of stuff, you know, a lot of head cleaving and jaw ripping off. And so, yeah, check that out. And I really want to get people to buy that because I want that press to do well so I can maybe submit more Asher Kang stories in the future to him.
I got to break your balls.
Break them.
It's ethereal.
Ethereal, whatever. Ethereal, ethereal. What does it matter? What does it matter?
I gotta
be like that.
I have to be like that.
It's all right. I found out I've been pronouncing France wrong this whole time yesterday, so who cares?
France?
Yeah, it's France.
All right.
Especially France. That's how it's pronounced. France.
Who says who?
The fucking French. The fucking French assholes.
Whatever. Well, all right. Well, that's that for today. We went a little bit long, but we haven't talked in 2 weeks, so I hope you all were enjoying hearing our voices and seeing our faces for those two people who watched the video. So,
Spencer. I don't think Spencer watches the video. He don't want to look at us either.
Well, stay tuned. This is coming Monday, May 6th, for a brand new episode of Arcade Bookshop. The sister episode to last week's talk about Star Tropics. We're talking about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. So
yeah,
stop on by, y'all.
Yeah, bonerific.
And I'm happy to see some listeners from new U.S. states and from other unexpected countries lowering their ears to our...
You got Iran, didn't you? Some listeners from Iran checking.
Yeah, I got Iran. I got one from Iceland, Netherlands.
I always wonder how many are just like Americans at military bases.
Yeah.
I suspect that when I get like an Iran for DPW, when I get like an Iran or Georgia or just some like country, I'm like, I don't think they're listening to us unless it's somebody on a base.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we keep getting out there and spreading the word about Arcade Bookshop. So thanks everybody for listening. You've just spent some time in the Arcade Cafe for the first time in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's hopefully exciting. We'll
be keeping our doors open from here on out. But we hope you enjoyed yourself. I'm Bryce Yoli with my pal and cousin-in-law, Caleb James, and we will see you next week.